Moikatan Dav Gimel. We're in Beis Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud. We started the new Masechta yesterday. Mishnah Torah is those things which can be done on Chol HaMoed. In general, as we discussed yesterday in our introduction, Chol HaMoed, there is an Isra Malacha, but not the same as there is on Yantav, and certainly not on Shabbos. Shabbos, all Malachas are Aser. On Yantav, most of the Malachas are Aser, with notable exception to Ochel Nefesh. We discussed this in much greater detail in yesterday's Daf. And then a Chol HaMoed, so there is a further relaxation in which there is an Isra Malacha, but at the same time, there are a number of Heterim. Both Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of the Masechta point out that as far as the Isra Malacha is concerned on Chol HaMoed, so it is a little bit open-ended, and the Chachamim were given the rights and the abilities to go ahead and to regulate what's going to be Aser and what's going to be Moter. With this in mind, so the Mishnayos and the Gemara is going to take us through exactly which malachas can be done on Chol HaMoed under what considerations. As we learned back in the Mishnah, the main consideration that was discussed in the Mishnah is going to be hafsed. If we're talking about a loss, a financial loss, so under those circumstances, one could violate a malacha, not violate, but one could do the malacha on Chol HaMoed if there's a financial loss. There also is in the Mishnah provision that it has to be a financial loss and there has to also not be Terchi Yisera. So under these circumstances, where it's a financial loss and it doesn't represent an overexertion, then and only then one is allowed to do the malachas. Obviously, all this would be much better seen throughout examples, and that's what we're going to be seeing over the course of this Masechta, numerous examples of things that are considered a financial loss, but not an overexertion. So for example, in the Mishnah, yesterday's daf, so the Mishnah described irrigating a field. So as long as the field is a Beis HaShlachim, as Rashi described back in the Mishnah, it's a field that is in a higher elevation, there is no pooled water over there. Consequently, it demands that it be watered, and if you do not water it, so the field is going to lose. So this represents a financial loss, and watering it using a mayan, so that is going to be an example where it's the perfect sweet spot, where on one hand you're looking at a financial loss, on the other hand it's not an overexertion in order to water it. So under those circumstances, the Chachamim are matir is such a situation. Gemara yesterday's daf also went ahead and discussed a very simple question, and that is that if one were to water land on Shabbos, which malacha is he in fact violating? The way the Gemara phrased the question yesterday is that you see somebody about to do so and you'd like to warn him not to do so. So which malacha is this going to be a subcategory? Watering land is not one of the avos malachos. It's not one of the main categories, but nevertheless, it certainly is an Isser on Shabbos. And it is a tolada, it's a subcategory, and what exactly does it fall under? So that was a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. So we went through the machlokas yesterday between Rab and Rav Yosef, exactly which malacha does it fall under. There are two possibilities, either it falls under the category of Zoreah, or it falls under the category of Choresh. Tosfos spent a little bit of time yesterday going exactly over why it is that we would rather compare it to Zoreah, why to Choresh, but either way, there are two possibilities and one could be violating. The Gemara pointed out yesterday, and this is where we ended off, is that really what you could say is that you could say it's both. There are other areas in halacha where you see that one violates with one action multiple malacha, so why not just say the same thing over here? So the Gemara ends off simply with kasha. But where we stand right now is that if one were to irrigate land on Shabbos, either it's going to be a violation of Choresh or it's going to be a violation of Zoreah. And the Gemara now continues this discussion. We're in Beis Amud Beis, picking right up where we left off. So, Eisvei Rav Yosef L'Rabba. So the following question was posed from Rav Yosef to Rava, and that is based on a Braisa. Menachesh v'mechapa l'klayim. If one is either going to pull out weeds or cover the seeds, so and he does so with klayim, so in other words, it's a mixture of grains and grapes, let's say, so which is nisr in the Torah, so locust. So for doing that, he's going to be subject to Malkus. Rabbi Akiva Omer Af Mekayim. Rabbi Akiva is of the position that even just leaving it there is going to be subject to Malkus. Now, this position, Rabbi Akiva, certainly is very interesting and certainly needs more explanation. Generally speaking, there is no Malkus for a lack of action. So so Rabbi Akiva's position over here says that you're going to get Malkus for just being Mekayim. So on a number of other places throughout Shas where this position Rabbi Akiva is expressed, so Rashi generally says that we're talking about a situation where you're not just simply leaving it there, but rather you're putting a fence around it. In other words, you're not doing anything to the climb itself, but you are circling it with a fence. That's Rashi throughout Shas. So over here, Rashi doesn't make a comment. What it sounds like over here, well, that's not totally true. Rashi over here says, Shiroi climbs are of the Enum Evatlo. All right. Rashi over here seems to certainly indicate that you did literally nothing. And yet you're going to get Malkus for that inaction, meaning just for leaving it there. Okay. Anyway, it could be that Rabbi Kiva, generally speaking, says that you are going to get Malkus even for inaction. Regardless, the point over here is as follows. We're going to come back to Rabbi Kiva in just a moment. So, but what comes out over here is that one is subject to Kalayim if he either weeds or he covers the seeds. Now, Bishlam Lididi Damina Mishum Zaream. So now, as Rav Yosef points out, from my position, it's very good because I maintain that watering and weeding is going to be a subcategory of Zareah. So for me, that's very good. Hainu Dasir Isriya B'Klayim. Because we know that the Isra for Klayim is planting the Klayim. So then for me, it works out very good. But you're of the position that both weeding and watering is a subcategory of Charesh. So Charesh B'Klayim Yasiri. There's no Isra of Klayim as it relates to Charesha. Plowing is not the Isra of Klayim. The Isra of Klayim is planting. So Amalei Mishum Mekayim. So Rabbi says in response to Rav Yosef in his defense that over here, the reason why he's going to be subject to Malkus is not because neither the act of weeding nor of covering the seeds, but rather it's just simply because he is sustaining Kalayim. And for the act of sustaining Kalayim, which again is not an act, but for sustaining Kalayim, so you're going to be subject to Malkus. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. That's the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Bahamid kani say for Rabbi Akiva, Omer Afa Mekayim Echad, the Tanakama Lav Misham Mekayimu. Of course, that doesn't make sense because in the Braisa there seems to be two positions. And the second position is Rabbi Akiva, which of course means that the first position is not Rabbi Akiva. And it's hard to now interpret the first opinion in the Braisa. The Tanakama of the Braisa is going like Rabbi Akiva when the second Shita in the Braisa is Rabbi Akiva. That's very difficult, but the Gemara defends. So Gemara says, Kula Rabbi Akiva hi. Really, the entire Braisa is Rabbi Akiva, Matam Kamar. And just a question on how to read the Braisa. Matam Amenachesh Amechapa Klaim Loke. How come it is that somebody who either weeds or covers the seeds is going to be subject to the Malkus of Kalayim Mishum Mekayim? Because it will be a violation of Kiyum. Sure, Rabbi Kiva Omer Af Mekayim. Because Rabbi Kiva is of the position of Af Mekayim. My time at the Rabbi Kiva, and as far as the Shita Rabbi Kiva is concerned, why should that be? The Tanya, based on the Pasuk, Sad Chalos Yisra, Kalayim. So he says that you're not allowed to make an admixture of various seeds. Ein li ela zareya, so far all I know is Zriya, which is the act of planting. Mikayim minayin, how do I know as it relates to Mikayim as well? Tamalomer, Kalayim Sad Chalo. And so what the Gemara now is doing, Al Derech Drush, is that it's flipping around some of the words of the Pasuk. And as a result of that, the conclusion is that as long as it's just there in the field, you are in violation of the Isra of Kalayim. Kalayim Sadecha, Lo. By just simple virtue of the fact that you're climbing your field, so that is a representation of the Losas of the Torah, therefore subject to Malkus. That would be a way to read the Braisa. Comes out now that there is a defense for still the position that even weeding and watering is going to be a subcategory of Charisha. Either the Braisa says that you're subject to the Isra of Kalayim, which is an Isra of Zoreya. No, the Isra is not for the weeding, it's not for the watering, it's just simply for Kiyum because the entire Braisa is going like Rabbi Kiva. Tanan. We are going to go back to our Mishnah. Mashkin Beis HaShlachim B'moed V'Shvias. In our Mishnah, we learned that one is allowed to water the Beis HaShlachim on Chol HaMoed and during the Shemitah year. Bishlam HaMoed, Mishum Tirchahu, Ove Makom Seda Sharu Rabbanan. So as far as Chol HaMoed is concerned, so as we already discussed and already explained, so yes, it's true that it does involve some sort of exertion. At the same time, however, you're looking at financial losses as a base of shlachim and the chachamim were matir, as we discussed back already in the Mishnah. That part we know. But elishvius. But as it relates to the shmita, so bein laman damar mishum zareya, bein laman damar mishum chavrei shviyah v'charisha b'shvius mishari. So I don't understand what possible heter could there be to water. Water is either going to be a subcategory of planting. Watering is going to be a subcategory of plowing. Again, it's machlokes between Rabbi and Rav Yosef, but whichever position you take, there shouldn't be a heter for Shemitah. Meaning Shemitah is an Issa Deraisa. Seemingly, there's an Issa Deraisa for both plowing and for planting as well. So how can the Mishnah say that when it's a Beis HaShlachim and you're allowed to water during the Shemitah year, seemingly there is no heter for that whatsoever? It's a really basic question, and the Gemara is going to have two basic approaches to this question. Approach number one, Amar Abaye B'Shvias Bezman Hazeh. So we're talking about Shemitah Bezman Hazeh Rabbi Hi, and it subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Ditanya, learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Omer, V'zeh Dvar Shemitah Shemot. So the Pasuk in Parshas Behar, where the Gemara now, actually this Pasuk is in Parshas Re'eh. Shemitah is repeated in Parshas Re'eh. Anyway, So the word Shemitah is used two times in a row. V'zeh d'var ha-Shemitah Shemot, v'shtei Shemitah z'kaos medaber. And encrypted in this pasuk is a reference to the double Shemitah. Acha Shemitah z'karka v'acha Shemitah z'ksafim. One, that you have to let the land lay fallow. And two, you also have to forgive all loans. So v'zman she'atam esham ekarka, atam esham ekksafim. V'zman she'i atam esham ekarka, i atam esham ekksafim. So at a time where the land is to lay fallow, that's when loans are forgiven. And when the land is not laying fallow, so then the loans are not to be forgiven. Meaning the two Shemitahs go hand in hand. They correlate one with the other. But what we're learning together over here is that there is in fact going to be a point in time where Shemitah is just simply not going to be enforced. The Gemara over here gives us no information in terms of when that point is. And although that's really important information, but that's not critical to our discussion. All we're establishing over here in our Gemara is that simply there is in fact going to be a point in time where Shemitah is not going to be in effect, min ha-Torah. Even though it's not going to be in effect min ha-Torah, the Gemara is of course assuming that it's still going to be in effect min de-Rabbanan, but once we've established that now there is a point in time where Shemitah is in effect min de-Rabbanan, so now we can open ourselves up to kulas, which is in fact what we're saying right now. That one response, one approach to our Mishnah, that you can water fields during Shemitah, we're talking about Shemitah b'zman is that where Shemitah is only min de-Rabbanan. And so therefore, for Pseudo, you could be Makel. That's approach number one of the Gemara. Rava Amar Filu Temer Rabbanan. Rava gives a second approach to the Gemara, and that is Avos Aser Rachmana, as far as what is Aser during the Shemitah year. So anything which falls under the category of an Av, which in Shemitah, let's assume that we're operating with the same model of Shabbos, meaning what's an Av Malach on Shabbos? So something like Zorea, planting, or something like Chorish, like plowing. So what we're saying now is as follows, that when we're looking at Shemitah, so those actions which are avos vis-a-vis Shabbos, like plowing, like planting, are in fact going to be aser. However, as we turn to the top now of Gimel Med Aleph, tolados lo aser rachmana, but the tolados are not going to be aser. Meaning, even though there is something called a tolada, as we know, legabi hilcha Shabbos, nevertheless, there's not going to be any of the tolados which are going to be aser during the Shemitah. Watering is going to be a tolada. Now again, what is it a tolada of? So we debated that already on the previous summit. Regardless of what it is a tolada of, what the Gemara now is saying is that it's simply not going to be Aser Shemitah. It'll be Aser obviously for Shabbos, and on Shabbos it's an Issa Daraisa, but what we're suggesting right now, what Rav is suggesting right now, is that it's simply not going to be an Issa vis-a-vis Shemitah. How did he arrive at that conclusion? Dichsiv. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. This is now from Parshas Bahar. And then the puzzle goes on, Sadecha lo sizra, so you're not allowed to plant. And michde, zmira bechlal zria. So we know that pruning is obviously included within planting. Pruning is cutting off, so in order to encourage further growth. Ubitzira bechlal kitzira. Now, as far as picking grapes is concerned, that is also going to be directly under the category of kitzira. So in other words, the Torah actually identifies two tolados. There are two, and only two subcategories that are actually mentioned in the Torah. So lamai hilchasa kasvin rachmana. So the obvious question is, why would the Torah have to spell out these tolados? Meaning if the Torah just wanted to tell us not to do work on the land in the Shemitah year, so then what the Torah could have done is it could have just given us the avos, and then we would have assumed, of course, that any tolada that falls under the avos that are mentioned in the Torah are going to be included by virtue of the fact that the Torah actually articulates, spells out two of the tolados. So the Gemara now is making the argument, lemer dahani tolados mechayev, achranaisa lemechayev. You are in fact going to be chayev on these tolados, but only these tolados, to the exclusion of all other tolados, which you're not going to be chayev. So therefore, watering is going to be a tolada. Again, what is it a tolada of? Could be planting, could be plowing. Regardless, it's not one of the toladas that are mentioned in the Torah, and therefore one is not going to be chayev for watering. Velo. So the Gemara says that, really? You mean to tell me that the only two toladas that one is going to be chayev for is going to be pruning and picking grapes, right? The zmira and bitzira. And that's it, and there's nothing else. By that time, the Gemara says, okay, but we have a brisa. Now, the Gemara is about to quote a pretty lengthy brisa. In fact, on this first amud of today's daf, the Gemara is going to be quoting this lengthy brisa two times. You'll see why in just a little bit. But anyway, so we're going to go through the brisa. I'm not going to be too expressive or too detailed in the brisa. what we're going to see in the Braisa, if we could just take a larger picture of the Braisa. Now, I'll certainly read and I'll certainly give basic translations, but the basic idea is that you can't do any land improvement during the Shemitah year. None. With a couple of exceptions at the end of the Braisa. And then, of course, the question is going to result, if I can't do any land improvement, so clearly the Isra Shemitah is not just limited to the two Tolados that are mentioned in the Torah, but presumably it applies to all Tolados. That's going to be the question, and then the Gemara is going to give an answer. But now let's see the Braisa inside. I'm just a little bit concerned that we're going to get lost in all these details. Anyway, that's the basic structure of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Va'atayim v'lenta the Braisa, sad chalosiz rav, v'chamach chalosiz mor." So here now we're quoting from the Psukim in Parshas Bahar, and now the Gemara darshins, "Ein li alaz riav v'zimor." So far, I know that you're not allowed to sow. You're not allowed to prune. Minayin lenikush, leidur, lekisuch. How do I know that I'm not allowed to do any type of other land improvement? Now, over here, we're talking about different types of weeding and hoeing. Okay, Rashi goes through. There are different types of weeding. Anyway, tamalomar sadecha, lo. Chamecha, lo. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says that your field, no, and your vineyard, no. So, lo kamalacha shebetzadcha, velo kamalacha shebechamecha. You're not allowed to do any work. Not in the land, not in the vineyard. And how do I know that for as far as trees are concerned? So to cut the dry branches and the excess branches or supporting it. Rashi describes how the tree is shaking from side to side and you're basically supporting it. You're anchoring it. So Tamalama Sadakalo Khamechalo, Lokamalacha Shabasak, Lokamalacha Shabakarmacha, Minayan. Sorry, that was round two of the Braisa, that you can't do any work in terms of the trees. Now, how do I know that I can't fertilize, removing stones, putting dust down over the roots, killing off all the bugs by via smoking it out? So, so once again, in round three, same basic idea. You can't do any kind of land improvement, tree improvement, ground improvement. So here in the end of the Braisa, a couple of small things that are allowed at the end of the Braisa. And that is hoeing directly under the olive tree. I might have thought that you can't. Or hoeing under the grapevine. Filling in holes with a little bit of water, making ditches around the grapevines. So when the Torah says that you are not allowed to plant your field, we already know about Zria, we already know about planting. So why does the Torah spell out Zria? So lahakish ela lama lacha. So to create a hekesh, and that is Mazria miyuchedes avoda. Just like planting is something specific to both the field and the vineyard. So, we're looking at anything which is going to be universally true for both the field and for the vineyard as well. These last four activities that were described in the Braisa are really specific and not universal, and therefore they're going to be allowed. Anyway, what comes out over here is the following, is that aside from those last four activities, there is three rounds of activities that one is not allowed to do to the ground, to the trees, to the surrounding area. And so you mean to tell me that the only Isurim of Shemitah are going to be only the Avos of Charish and Zria and only going to be two Tolados and that's it? And meanwhile, we just went over a host of activities that are going to be Asur. And also in the Braisa, every time we finish the round of things that you're not allowed to do, so in the Braisa, it quoted a Pasuk. So it sounds like that these are Isuri Daraisa, and it can't be that it's just the two Avos and the two Tolados. So which Gemara says, no, it actually can be. Midrabbanan Kras Machta Ba'ama. Could very well be that everything that we learned in this Braisa, all these other activities that we learned in the Braisa, are really Isur Midrabbanan, not Midaraisa. Either Pasuk, the Pasuk is just simply an Asmachta. Okay. So at this point in time, that was a long way to defend Rava, but the Gemara defended Rava, meaning to the question of how can I water lands during the Shemitah year. So answer number one is that we're talking about Shemitah Bezman Hazeh, which is Darabana. And answer number two of Rava is that no, we're actually talking about Shemitah Bezman Hazeh, which is Daraisa. It just happens to be that watering is not a Tolada mentioned in the Torah. Therefore, watering is not an Issa Daraisa, and therefore giving an allowance for the Chacham to be Mekom. So the Gemara says, as far as hoeing directly under the olive tree, So we just learned together that that's mutter. V'aksiv. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. We have another brisa in going off of the pasuk v'ashvias tishma tena unitzashta and tishma tena melakashkesh. You have to leave the field alone. And the brisa understands that that means that you're not allowed to hoe. And unitzashta melasakel. And nitzashta means you have to totally leave it alone, meaning you can't even remove rocks from the area. So, Amar Ravuk Bar Chama, so obviously a stira, whether or not you are or are not allowed to hoe. So the Gemara says, it depends. Trey kushkushi hava, there's hoeing and then there's hoeing. Chad ivruye ilana. So if we're talking about making the tree healthier, so that you're not allowed to do. The chad sisume pele. But if, however, there are significant cracks that you're just filling in near the roots, so that you are allowed to do. Ivruye ilana, so the Gemara goes on to explain. As far as making the tree stronger, so that's going to be asur. Sesume pile shari. But as far as just covering in the cracks right around the roots, so that's going to be motor. And as Rashi points out over here, basically the difference is whether or not we're looking at a hefse or we're looking at revach. If we're looking at a potential loss, so for that the chachamim are makel. If we're talking about just simple improvement, meaning the tree would do just fine on its own, and now we're just talking about improving the tree. So for that, the Chachamim did not allow that to be done. That is the difference between one act of hoeing, which is usur, versus the other act of hoeing, which is going to be mutter. Itmar. We're going to continue in the discussion of the Gemara. And now a very simple question, and that is Harisha in the Shemitah year. Is Harisha going to be usur during Shemitah? So let's start off the discussion with a very simple and a resounding yes. You're not allowed to plow land during Shemitah year. The only question becomes, and it's a pretty important question, and that is, what kind of Isser are we talking about? Are we talking about Isser de Rabbanah, or are we talking about Isser de Raisa? So we've already quoted a number of psukim as it relates to Shemitah. So you'll notice that of the many psukim that we quoted psukim from Parshas Re'eh, and we just quoted a pasuk from Parshas Mishpatim, and the main parsha in the Torah that talks about Shemitah is going to be Parshas Bahar. So you'll notice that the word Harisha is not mentioned explicitly in Parshas Bahar. So we already quoted. I'm just citing the Psukim. So in Parshas Bahar, in Perachafei, Pasuk Dalet, Sadecha, Los is Rav Chamecha, Los is more. So we talked about Zriya and Zomer. In the Pasuk, in Parshas Mishpatim, as we just quoted, Vashviyas Tishmatenu Unetashta, just leaving the field alone. And any of the other psukim, so there is no reference to the Isser of Harisha plowing the land. Now, on one hand, it makes simple sense that you're not allowed to plow the land because, again, during the Shemitah, you have to leave the land alone. But there is no pasuk, direct pasuk in the Torah itself that speaks to not plowing. And so the question now becomes the following. It's certainly Isser to plow the land during the Shemitah year. What kind of Isser are we talking about? Are we talking about an Isser deraisa, or are we talking about an Isser derabanan? So that's where the Gemara now is about to discuss Itmar. Acharish b'shvius, if you want this Harish during Shemitah year, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, Chanamar Loke, v'chanamar Ein Loke. Machlokus amongst the Amoraim, whether or not one is in fact going to be subject to Malkus. So Lema b'drabi Abanam, Rabbi Eli Kamifli. The first explanation of this Machlokus, says the Gemara, is a very technical one, and it is a question of whether or not we can darshan or we cannot darshan. So we know we have a principle of klal prado klal. When the Torah gives us a sequence of generality followed by specific examples, followed then by generality. So we know that the examples that are given over there serve as models, as a almost like a template. And so therefore, anything which is ke'in aprat is going to be included. So that is the procedure of klal prado klal. What the Gemara is going to try to argue over here momentarily is that even though we do have a pasuk that certainly fits into the rules of klal prado klal, on the other hand, it may not work. It may not be able to work within the rules of klal prado klal. Rashi over here quotes the pasuk. The pasuk of Vishana Shvi'is. This is in Bahar. This is both the pasukim 4 and 5. Vishana Shvi'is Shavah Shabbaton Yelaretz. So that is the klal. And then the pasuk goes on to give examples. Sadechalos is Rav. Vechamechalos is more. And then followed by Shna Shabbaton Yelaretz. So we have now what is called classically klal prado klal. Now, on one hand, it certainly sounds good. On the other hand, as the Gemara is about to point out, the first and the last klal are not mitzvahs los esse, but rather it's esse. Meaning the Gemara's understanding right now, this is the way Rashi understands it, and it's clearly the way the Gemara understands it, is that when the Torah says, uveshana shviya shabbaton, So that is a positive instruction that one is to leave the land fallow. That is to be understood, b'derech essay. And so basically now what comes out is that the klal is an essay, the second klal is going to be an essay, and sandwich in the middle are going to be clearly a los essay. So when I have klal part of klal, however, it is in the pattern of essay, los essay, and essay, so what the Gemara is going to now argue, or at least attempt to argue, is that maybe we can't make that into a klal part of klal. Klal part of klal has to be where every component is going to be working in the same direction. Either all three of them are essays or all three of them are los essays. But if two of them are going in one direction and one of them is going in the opposite direction, so then maybe that can't be a klal part of klal. That is what the Gemara is going to try to argue. And let me read this again. Lema, but the Rabbi Avin Amar Rabbi Elikam Iflegi, the Amar Rabbi Avin Amar Rabbi Elikam Makom Shenemar Klal Beesay Uprap Los Asay Ain Danaso Klal Prado Klal. So for this reason, that the Klal is a positive, and the Los Asay and the Prad is a Los Asay. So therefore, we can't convert that into a Klal Prado Klal. So Manda Amaloka Leslay the Rabbi Avin Amar Rabbi Elai. Now the one who says that you're going to get Malkus, so he doesn't subscribe to this. Meaning it is eligible for klal or prado klal, and as a result of that, so even though chorish is not mentioned, but since other activities to the ground are going to be usur and iser min ha-usur min ha-Torah, same thing is going to be true regarding chorish as well. And using the method of klal or prado klal. Uman dar min aloke leislay de Rabbi Avin. The one on the other hand who says that you're not going to get malchus simply does not subscribe to Rabbi Avin. I'm sorry. Does subscribe to Rabbi Avin, meaning that you can't make a klal or prado klal, and therefore there is no clear reference to choresh in the Torah, not explicitly, and not even via drasha. Lo, the Gemara rejects this approach. No, the truth of the matter is, no one subscribes to this rule, and really, it is in fact eligible for klal or prado klal. And the one who says you're going to get malchus, it's very good because we have over here a klal or prado klal. And the one who says that you're not going to get malchus, amalacha, what he'll tell you is the following. Michti, zmir, michal, zriya. Now this hopefully will sound familiar because we made this point earlier on this amud, but now we're going to make it again. And that is that look at the examples that the Torah gives in terms of what you can't do during the Shemitah year. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to prune. That's los is more. That already is included in zriya. Ubitzira, bechlav, katsira. And also the same thing is true in terms of picking grapes. That's already included in being kotzer and reaping. So lamai yochasa kasvin rachman. So why does the Torah give these two examples? Lameimer dahani tolados u'demechayev atolda achrin alamechayev. You only chayev for these tolados and not for other tolados. And so what comes out over here now is that because we need these examples to teach us this particular halacha, so we no longer have these examples eligible to be used using the method the midah of klal prado klal. Okay. So what comes out now is that, in theory, everyone would agree that a klal prado klal is a possibility over here. It just happens to be that the second position who says that you can't make a klal prado klal over here is just simply because I needed to teach me another halacha. Notably, only these tolados to the exclusion of all other tolados. And now the Gemara is just simply going to review for us what we already saw before, which is the long brisa, which makes it sound like there are many other toladas that one is not allowed to do. Below, the Gemara says, is this true? That you're not allowed to do any other talada? The Vahatanya. Meanwhile, Sadeh Chalos is Revacham Chalos is more. I'm going to read this quickly because we already went through this brisa in detail. Ainli Elaziru of Azimra Minan Leidor Lekishkush Lekisach. These are different types of weeding and hoeing. So Tamalam or Sadeh Chamacha Lo. You're not allowed to do improvements to your land during the Shemitah year. And again, these are various improvements to the trees and to the branches. So Tamalomar Sadhalo Khamakalo. Kamalacha Shabasadhalo, Kamalacha Shabakamacha Lo. Meanin Shame Zavlan Vain Mefarkin Vain Mashnim Be Elan. These are various forms of fertilization, removal of stones. Smoking out the bugs of the tree. So once again, in three different rounds, we went over the various three activities, more than three. Many activities that are going to be prohibited during the Shemitah year. What about some activities which are either going to be specific to a vineyard or specific to trees? So Tamalama said Khalos Israel Zriya Bihlal Haisa. Valama Yasala Kishallah Lamalakha. Mazriya Mihedas Avodishabasada Ushibakaram. Of course, you have Shabasada Vishabakaram. Any kind of field work that is going to be universal for both a field and for a vineyard, so that is going to be prohibited. Anything else is not going to be prohibited, which is why these last activities, which are specific to either the field or the vineyard, but not to both, are going to be permitted. Anyway, what comes out once again is that you see that there are many activities that are going to be also many more than just the two toladus of the Torah. So the Gemara says, once again, midrabanan ukras machta ba'alma. Yeah, that's the din derabanan. All these things over here, either psukim that were brought, asmachta ba'alma, but these aren't the real sources for these particular halachas. All these halachas are dini derabanan, the chachamim legislating that you can't do these activities as a gedur. It's just simply a fence, so that one does not come to violate the Yisurah Deraisa of Shemitah. Bringing us to Gimel Amud Beis. Where do we stand right now? So just in terms of a quick mid-daf summary, so the Gemara wanted to know how it's possible to irrigate your land during the Shemitah year. The Mishnah says you're allowed to do that. The Beis HaShlachim, you can go ahead and you can water during the Shemitah year. So the Gemara has two approaches. Approach number one of Abaye, which is that we're talking about Shemitah B'Zman Hazeh, which is a Din D'Rabbanan, with the second approach, that of Rava, which is that, no, Shemitah B'Zman Hazeh is a Din D'Araisa. However, the number of malachas that are actually prohibited min HaTorah are extraordinarily limited. Two of us malachas min HaTorah, and then only two toladas, and that's it. No other toladas are going to be prohibited. So watering is a tolada. It's not an av malacha. Whatever it may be a tolada of, but it's not an av malacha. It's not one of the two that are mentioned in the Torah. It's not being zomer. It's not being botzer. And so therefore, it's not asur min HaTorah. And then what the Gemara did is that the Gemara went through a lengthy discussion in terms of, it sounds like there are many other Yisurim vis-a-vis Shemitah. The Gemara notes that within the Shita of Rava, you'll have to say that is a Issa D'Rabbanan, not an Issa D'Araisa. The Gemara and the Amud Aleph also went over what seems to be a stira in that, in one brisa it says that certain types of hoeing is okay, other types of hoeing are not okay. And the Gemara says basically, is it to save hefseid or is it to create revach? If it's to save hefseid, that you're allowed to do. If it's to create revach, that you're not allowed to do. And finally, doing Charisha during the Shemitah year on the Amud Aleph, the question becomes, it's certainly Aser. Is it going to be an Issa D'Araisa? Is one going to be subject to Malkus? There's no clear reference in the Torah itself that being Charish during the Shemitah year is going to be Aser. So is it in fact an Issa D'Araisa subject to the Malkus penalty? And the answer is it's a Machlokus. And then a question of how to explain that Machlokus. So the Gemara gave a couple of suggestions in terms of how to explain the Machlokus. We're here now on the top of Gimel Amud Beis. So as long as we're talking about Shemitah, so we're going to be speaking for this Amud Beis a little bit more about Shemitah. He asked Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he taught the following. He says, "Amar Yachol Yelakal Tosefes." Here's what I heard. I heard something which is a little bit cryptic, and I'll just simply say it over, and we're going to go on to explain it. So one might have thought that he's going to get Malkus for Tosefes. Right now, let's just call it addition, and not be clear about what that means, as the Gemara itself is going to identify exactly what that means. Now, I might have thought that you're going to get Malkus for this quote-unquote Tosefes, and we have a drasha that tells us that you're not going to get Malkus. So, what I don't know, says Rav Dimi, quite honestly, quite frankly, is I don't know what this Tosefes they're making reference to. I don't know the drasha that they're making reference to. So basically, I'm lost, I'm confused. So, this brisa that Rav Dimi is making reference to over here, so it certainly needs a lot more explanation, so the Gemara is going to give two different suggestions in terms of what Rav Dimi was making reference to. So, Rav Elazar, Amar Charisha. So Rav Elazar says that the Tosefes over here that we're describing is the Tosefes of Charisha, meaning an additional activity that may in fact be Aser during Shemitah. V'achi Kamar. Pshat is going to go like this. Yochel Yilak al Charisha. I might have thought that you're going to get Malkus for Charisha. That's the Havamina. That's the Yochel. That's what I might have thought. Da'asim Mechlal, Prat, Uklal. Because what we could have done, like we did in the Amud Aleph, is that we could have derived it using the Klal part of Klal, as we already discussed back on the Amud Aleph. But then what we did is that we changed directions, meaning we're not going to use the psukim for klal part of klal, but rather what we're going to do, like we did on the Amud Aleph, is that why does the Torah spell out these particular tolados? Because the Torah wanted to make a different point. Notably, it's only these tolados that one is going to be subject to in Issa Deraisa, but no other tolados. So that means to say that we no longer have an eligibility to darshan klal part of klal, like we said in the Amud Aleph, and therefore Choresh is no longer open to any kind of drasha. Good. And obviously now, according to Rav Elazar, what we just went over is basically a good part of Amud Aleph, meaning that the cryptic brisa of Rav Dimi is now understood in the context of having learning today's daf and then the Amud Aleph. That is one pshat. The Gemara, however, now gives a second pshat, and that of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Amar, Yamim She'esifu Chacham Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. When we say Hosafa over here, we're talking about the added days. And on these added days, so one in fact is going to be, one would have thought that if one were to violate any of the activities, the usher activities of Shemitah, during Tosefes Shemitah, so one is going to be subject to Machus. V'achi gamar. Yach yelak el Tosefes Rosh Hashanah da'asim b'chavsh v'katsir tishbos. And why would I give Machus? Meaning the only way you get Machus is only in Nisr Daraisa. So the Gemara says, because I might have thought that it's the Tosefes Shemitah is actually learned via a drasha, which the Gemara in a moment is going to explain. And what we're going to learn together is that there's a drasha to tell us that you're in fact not going to get Malkus. Okay. So over here now, so we're opening up a discussion within the Gemara regarding Tosefes Shemitah, meaning in our second shot of Rav Dimi's cryptic statement. So the Tosefes over here is talking about Tosefes Shemitah, which means that the Isra Shemitah, even though the Shemitah year starts on the first day of Tishrei, otherwise known to us as Rosh Hashanah, nevertheless, there's going to be an extension of time prior to Rosh Hashanah that already Shemitah is going to kick in. What we're going to do first is we're going to establish what exactly is that extended time. What exactly is the Tosefes? My Yamim Shalafnei Rosh Hashanah. So, okay, the non, so we're here, we're going to learn a Mishnah together, and not just any Mishnah, but the first Mishnah in Shvi'as. Ad Masai Choshim B'Stei Ilan Er Shvi'as. So up until what point in time can one plow on Erev Shvi'as? It's funny. We just got done on the Amud Aleph discussing whether or not plowing is an Issa D'Oraisa, it's an Issa D'Rabbanon. Good. But as I pointed out already, it's clear. Plowing is Issa during Shemitah. That goes without saying. It's just a question of the degree of Issa that it is. And over here, the first Mishnah in Shvi'as is clearly telling us that plowing is going to be Issa. Adam HaSei Choshim B'Stei Ilan Erev Shvi'as. So if it's a Stei Ilan, Stei Ilan literally translates as a fruit field, okay, like an orchard. So, and at what point in time can we plow in the orchard? So, kol zman she'yafel l'pri, as long as it's good for the fruit. And as Rashi points out over here, when we say good for the fruit, we mean fruit of the 6 year. Meaning that basically, as long as plowing has some sort of efficacious nature to the 6 year fruit, so then you can go in and plow. But once plowing no longer serves 6 year fruit, and even though it's still the 6 year, but the only point of plowing from this point going forward is that it's going to be helpful towards the 7th year fruit. It's at that point now that the Chachamim said that it's Aser. So, and when does that point come about? So, Beis Hillel Amrei Marav Tzera. So, Beis Hillel says that we're looking basically. I'm sorry. Let me just go back to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai Amrei Kol Zman She'yafel L'Pri. So Beis Shammai says that so as long as it's still good for the fruit. Beis Hillel Amrei Marav Tzera. And Beis Hillel says that we're looking at Shavuos. The truth of the matter is that the opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are very close to one another. Now, what about the wheat field? Stay alavan literally translates as a white field, but it's a reference to the wheat field. So, mishetichla halecha. So, the amount of time or the point of time that one can go ahead and plant in the wheat field is only as long as there's still moisture in the field. And as long as you see people planting cucumbers. Rabbi Shimon says, no. What's going to happen is that basically you're going to, it's going to be a subjective shear and it's going to be too confusing. So, So the first Mishnah in Shemitah concludes that as far as the halach is concerned, when it comes to a wheat field, so you can plow up until Pesach, but that's it. which, by the way, just think about it for a moment, that's 6 months prior to when Shmita actually begins. So that's a significant Tosefis. Now, as far as Tehillim Ilan is concerned, so you happen to have up until Shavuos. The Amr of Shimon ben Pazi, Amr of Yishuv ben Levi, Mishim bar Kapara, Rami Gamliel, Beis Dino, Nimnu al Shnei Prakim Halalu, Ubitlum. Now we're going to go back, now we're going to go down the road historically to a much later point in time. The Beis Din of Rami Gamliel, Rami Gamliel was there at the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. And he went ahead and he repealed this particular takana, meaning the Gemara's understanding right now is that the points that we just gave in terms of Tosefes, both Pesach and Shavuos, are Dine de Rabbanan, and Rabbi Gamliel went ahead and he repealed. So to which the Gemara says, Amr le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Abba, Amr le Reish Lakish le Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Gamliel beis Dino heichem asa mevat le takanta. Wait 1 second. They're going to be able to repeal the Hatanan. You can't repeal. So we saw this back in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, and here we're seeing it again in the beginning of Masechta Moed Katan. At the beginning of Megillah, if you remember, if you recall, that first daf in Megillah, where the Gemara says that, look, reading the Megillah on the 11th and 12th, which is a Takana, for a moment, the Gemara thought that that was a later Takana. The Gemara says, well, it can't be a later Takana, because how can you have Anshe Knesset Sagadola going ahead and instituting Purim on the 14th and 15th, and then a later Beis Din is going to go ahead and add days? You can't do that. So therefore, the Gemara there in the beginning of Megillah assumed that even the 11th and 12th and the 13th as well was all part of the original Takana of Anshe Knesset Sagadola. Good. So over here, similarly, in the beginning of Moed Katan, we get the same basic idea, and that is that if Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, who are basically, the argument between them is really small, and both basically agree that the Chachamim went ahead and extended the Shemitah year to a much earlier point in time, so for the points of Shavuos and Pesach, so once they made that institution, you're going to have Rabbi Gamliel's Beis Din coming years later, having the ability to go ahead and repeal. They don't have the ability to repeal. The only way you can have a later Beis Din go ahead and repeal is only im kein gadol mimenu b'chachma v'minyan, only if they're greater. So ishtomim kishar chada. So at first, when he heard this, so he was quiet, meaning he didn't know what to answer. And amar lei emer kachisnu b'nehem. But then afterwards, meaning after being shocked and stunned and not having an answer, but then he had an answer. And the answer is that they made it tonight, meaning when Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel made the takana of not working, not just at the beginning of the Shemitah year, but going and extending back some time, in other words, Tosefes Shemitah, so built into the takana is also an allowance for repeal. And they said, Kol Arosa Levato Yavo V'Yavato. So at any point in time, later on, anyone who, for whatever reason, deems it important and necessary to go ahead and to repeal this particular takana has the right to do so. So, what the Gemara is suggesting is that built into the takana was also an ability to repeal the takana. Under those circumstances, the later Beis Din can go ahead and repeal only because it was built into the original takana. Okay, we're going to pause over here. And did who is the Gemara is going to be Gemara's next point, but it's really all one connected sentence, but we're going to pause at this point in time. And we'll pick it up tomorrow right at this juncture. Let's just quickly recap. Let's review. A discussion in the Gemara. We started today on Beis Amun Beis. And the Gemara's discussion over there, a continuation of the question of irrigation, whether it's going to be a subcategory of a Tolada of Choresh or whether it's going to be a Tolada of Zorea, Machlokas Amarayim. And the Gemara went over a little bit more back and forth on it. But really no conclusion, no clear indication. And we certainly know it, on Shabbos it would be Nisa Deraisa, would be a Malacha. It's a Tolada. Is it a Tolada of Zareh? Is it a Tolada of Charesh? So after a lot of back and forth, the Gemara leaves the issue and does not conclude on that particular issue. Next in the Gemara is that one is allowed to water during the Shemitah year. So that's what we learned in our Mishnah. So the Gemara spent really the entirety of today's daf, Moed Katan Daf Gimel, discussing aspects of Shemitah. First, a very basic question, which is that if Shemitah is an Issa D'Oraisa and watering on Shemitah is an Issa D'Oraisa, how could there be any allowance whatsoever to water on Shemitah? So this is where really the daf starts in terms of today's daf, And the Gemara gives two answers to this question, Abai and Rava. Abai's answer is that we're talking about Shemitah Bizman Zeh, which is a Din de Rabbanan, so therefore, in working, it would be an Isser de Rabbanan, and therefore the Chachamim have more more of a right to be lenient under certain circumstances. The second answer is that of Rava. Rava says that the Isurim of Shemitah are much more limited and defined than they are regarding Melech HaShabbos. Regarding Melech HaShabbos, we have the concept of Avos and Tolados, and Rava says, as far as Shemitah is concerned, so there are Avos, but there are only two Tolados and no other Tolados. Watering is a Tolada, not included in the Tolados of the Torah, and therefore that's why you're allowed to water. And on the Gimel Amud Aleph, a lot of discussion regarding this particular answer of Rava, where the Gemara ends up, after a lengthy discussion, going ahead and defending Rava's answer. Next discussion on Gimel Amud Aleph, for halfway down the Amud, and that is if I'm Choresh during the Shemitah year, Malkus or no Malkus, Machlokus Amaraim, and a discussion to be had in the Gemara from Gimel Amud Aleph all the way to the very bottom of the Amud in terms of how to be Mazbir the Machlokus, whether or not you're going to get Malkus or you're not going to get Malkus. The Rambam just looked it up. The Rambam sides with the position that you're not going to get Malkus for doing Choresh during the Shemitah year. Certainly it's Aser, but it's not going to be subject to Malkus. So presumably the correct way to say it, and certainly it sounds like from the Rambam, if you read the Rambam inside, is that it's not Nisr Dereis, it's a Nisr Derabbanan. Then on Gimel Amud Beis, we had a cryptic statement of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi says that he had a Braisa. I might have thought you're going to get Malkus on the Tosefes. What that Tosefes meant, he was not sure. And we have a limud that tells us that you're not going to get Malkus on the Tosefes. So what is that a reference to? So the Gemara so far offered two pshatim. One pshat is that the Tosefes is a reference to Choresh, where I might have thought that even though Choresh is not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, but you're going to get Malkus for it as an extension, as a Tosefes of the other Isurim that are, the other activities that are Asar on Shemitah year. That's the Havamina. Maskan is no. You're not going to get Malkus for Choresh. And the second pshat is that Tosefes over here is talking about Tosefes Zman, that there's an extended time where Shemitah is going to be enforced. Even though Shemitah effectively starts on the first day of Tishrei, but it is backed up to an earlier point in time, if I do any Avodas Karka from the extended time until Rosh Hashanah, one might have thought that they're going to get Malkus. And the Gemara's response to that is not, you're not going to get Malkus, but rather, it's Aser, but simply without Malkus. At this juncture, where we leave ourselves off, is that right now we've come to learn that the extended time was enacted by the Beis Din of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They do argue in terms of when exactly that time starts. Even the Mishnah admits the difference between the two positions is not that long. But nevertheless, as far as the Mishnah's conclusion, so the times in which it starts, depending on whether we're talking about a orchard or we're talking about a wheat field, is going to be either Pesach or Shavuos, respectively. And then we also learned that Tosefes was eventually repealed by Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din. Okay, and that's where we leave ourselves off. And it's an unfinished discussion. We're going to continue and finish this discussion. Yesh Hashem and tomorrow's daf.